To be or not to be? That's the question. For those that are more familiar with the arts than I am, you would recognize this sentence. It comes from this, from scene one in the third act of the great Shakespearean play Hamlet. So Hamlet was contemplating life. The question whether it's better to live or to die. To live and to die in a life that seemed unfair and painful. Now the question for us tonight is the same question, but for a different reason. So to be or not to be a discipler, that's the real question. Do we want to stay and work hard at the job that God gave us or not? I have the privilege to have been in this church for 10 years and personally, I've seen and experienced discipleship happen in this church. And I want to commend you and thank you for that. I want to thank you because I've seen how people support one another, how people correct one another, and how people come alongside each other and build one another up. But there is a danger to something that we do really well. It is the danger of being familiar with something that you do well and take it as second nature and become as take it for granted. Doing something really well that you kind of forget the reason why you do it. Let us read Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now this verse talks about living life together as a church. The church which is filled with people that are recreated through the Holy Spirit. Living life together because we are all in Christ Jesus. There are two main thoughts in verse 16. And We all should, under the influence of the word of Christ, firstly, make use of the wisdom from the word to teach and admonish one another. And then secondly, using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are to sing with gratitude in our hearts towards God. And I'd like us to look at the first one, make use of wisdom from the word to teach and admonish one another. And I want to do this looking at three realities of discipleship. And the first reality is the God we serve. As Colossians stress, it is the word of Christ. It's not any other word. It's the word of Christ that should dwell in us. Christ is the center of everything. Hence, the first reality, the God we serve. Look at the text. It says, the word of Christ, that should dwell in us. Now, what is the word of Christ? It refers to the gospel and the other teachings of Christ. So what is the gospel? It is the good news that the perfect God-man, Jesus, came to earth to die for our sins. Why? Because we are wretched sinners. We are dead. And we cannot save ourselves, but only Christ can. And that man came to earth to die for us. And God the Father raised him from death through the work of the Holy Spirit to give us newness of life in Jesus. This is the word that should dwell in our hearts richly. If you do not believe or you have not put your faith in this glorious news of Jesus, can I urge you to speak to me afterwards? I would love to. Or speak to someone else that you trust. And speak to them about this wonderful, life-giving message. If you have put your faith in Christ for saving you, then they are more than just good news of being saved. You actually qualify for a job. And it's a wonderful, glorious job. And this brings us to our second reality, the people we are. So it's the God we serve, and because of who He is, we can be the people we are. Look at our text. It says, dwell in you richly. is to let the word have overflowing room, or to have to remain as a rich treasure in your heart. We are to submit to the instruction of the Bible and let it become so deeply implanted in us that it controls all of our thinking, all of our words, and all of our behavior. Now it says, in you. That means you, Christian. The true people of God do what he did. As disciples, we are called to replicate what Jesus did. And what did he do? Jesus loved. He had a mission. He was humble. He served. He suffered. And he was obedient to the Father. Since he is our teacher, we need to learn from him and strive through the power of the Holy Spirit to become more like him. Luke 6:40. Now this growth in Christ-likeness is a lifelong process, so don't give up. It's a hard process, but it's fueled with a hope and expectation that we would see Christ face to face one day. 1 John 3 verses 2 to 3. Now, because it's instructed to Christians, there is only one kind of disciple. It is someone who follows and knows Jesus personally. That means a disciple is someone that helps others follow Jesus. When we look at Matthew 28:19-20, we see that Jesus instructs those that he called to himself to make disciples on his behalf. To be a Christian is to be a disciple, which means a follower, and a discipler, a helper, at the same time. So as we follow Jesus, we help others follow with us. Jesus instructs us to make disciples, baptize, and teach them. And this happens in the local church context. We are baptized into a local community. Why? For the reason of discipleship. We need to help one another grow in our walk with the Lord. It always happens through and in a local context, in a church context. It is in a local church where we get fed and equipped. Why? Again, to make disciples. Earlier I said that we as disciples have a job. We qualify. And this brings us to our third reality, the job we have. So it's the God we serve, and because of who he is and who we are in Christ, in our God, it makes us a people. And because we are his people, we have a job to do. Here's a simple definition of discipleship. Discipleship is to take care of one another spiritually. Can I read that again? Discipleship is to take care of one another spiritually. Look at our text. How do we do this? With the word, teaching and admonishing one another. So what is teaching? It is to explain the word or instruct according to the word. It is basically to have spiritual conversations. Help one another read the Bible. Help one another understand the Bible. What is admonish? It is to gently warn and correct each other. Now, this is more than just sharing the basic general truths of the Bible. Here we help people see their own sin. Now, before you run away with that thought, it goes both ways. We need to be transparent and open and invite people into our lives to point sin out in our lives as well. It's a two-way street. And looking at the table tonight, I hope that that happens. I believe that that is what happened in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes to the church because we're not discipling one another. We are called into this body to help one another not partake unworthily. We help each other not to be more committed to our sin than to Jesus and his body, the church. Can I say that again? We help each other not to be more committed to sin than to Jesus and the body, the church. The goal of discipleship is to see one another grow and have a life-transforming life, looking more like Christ. Now, surprise, surprise, it takes more than one person to disciple. Discipleship is not for the classroom. It happens in everyday life as we live life together. It's because of our love for our Father and for the Son and for the Holy Spirit that we want to disciple through our love for one another. Now, practically, what does this look like? I've got 6 practical suggestions of discipleship. And the first one is gathering with the saints here at church. This is also discipleship. Hebrews 10:24-25 is clear about that. And it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together." We are being equipped through the preaching of the word, but what happens afterwards? Can I challenge you to decide to spend 10 minutes after each service to meet up with someone that you do not normally meet up with? 10 minutes. Sit with them. Ask them how they're doing. Pray with them. Secondly, reading and spending time together. Now, if you love meeting up with people but you hate reading, can I challenge you to read 10 pages of a book or a short article before you meet up with someone? And decide, I cannot meet up with someone before I read these 10 pages or the short article, to go and discuss that with that person. Or if you love reading and you do not like meeting up with people or hold a conversation, well, you're halfway there. You read a book. That has a lot of conversation in there. Challenge yourself to go and discuss that book, that wonderful book that you read, with the person that you meet up with. I know a few people that if you want to go for a test run, to meet up with you and see how it goes. And if you short on resources, well, then see me afterwards. I can give you some resources. Thirdly, something that really helps me to keep my head in the game is to meet up for coffee, but not just for coffee. After the coffee meeting, sit down and read the Bible together. And then I would write the person's name that I met, the book of the Bible that we read, and the chapter. So the next time we meet up, then we can just carry on where we stopped the last time. Now, I know other people are not as privileged as I am to meet up with people regularly, but you do not have to meet up for coffee. You can meet up for water, or you can see each other whenever you have time. And moms, let me encourage you, clean houses are not a qualification for discipleship. In fact, it's a very good tool for discipleship. Fourthly, find out who works close to you. Meet up for lunch. Meet up before you start to work and pray or do grace group homework together. Who works in Sandton? That's a sanctification moment in itself. So Mark, you're okay. Who works in Edenvale? Bedford? Alberton? Okay, so you get what I'm saying. So find out who works close to you and meet up. It's as easy as that. And then fifthly, invite people over for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Have fellowship. Or even better, make a meal and take it to someone's house and have it with them in their own house. Just take your dishes back home with you. Brother, sister, soup and samis, that is a meal. Think we need to get over our diet scares and have some fellowship. Lastly, never let sleep or work or social media replace the joy of face-to-face fellowship. Now, regardless the format or your age, some of our discipleship should involve these categories. It should involve reading, praying, confessing, encouraging, modeling, challenging, following up with one another, and correcting. Why? For the goal of becoming more like Christ. And we can only do that through the Word and through prayer. Discipleship does not just happen. We need to be intentional about creating deep, transparent, and honest relationship in which we do spiritual good for other Christians. How many times have I met up with people and try and encourage them, and then I leave encouraged? Discipleship is so much more than a program. It is loving the body and being obedient to Christ. It is how we care for one another in this body. Discipleship is for the whole body, not for those super elite Christians. Not that you get those. But the whole body is called to make disciples. Now here's a warning. Discipleship is hard work. It's tiresome sometimes. But let me encourage you. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is as if Paul is saying, I'm running this race for heaven's sake. I'm running this race for the prize that the Father is keeping for me in heaven. That is his motivation for doing the work of Jesus. Can I ask you, what is your motivation? Brother, sister, Christ did not just die for nothing. He died to place us together in this family. And it's a family, so let us do it together. I started by saying, to be or not to be? That is a question. Well, if you're a Christian, there is no choice in the matter. To be a Christian is to be a discipler. As a friend of mine says, if you aren't helping other people follow Jesus, I don't know what you mean when you say you are following Jesus. To be his follower is to help others follow him. Let us pray. Or let us just bow our heads and have a time of reflection, and then I'll close in prayer. It is glorious to be part of this body. Lord, we pray that you would help us to strengthen this body through discipling. Help us to reach out. Help us to overcome other temptations. Help us to put in the hard yards to reach out to people. Lord, I pray that you would equip us so that we can equip others. I pray that you would help us with our faithfulness, Lord, because we know we are dependent on you, and I pray that you would help us to form each other in the likeness of Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.